Shall we get in the Word?
Yes.
Father God, in Jesus' name, the name above every name, our Lord, our King, our Savior, we give this time to you and this time in your Word. And Lord, we know that you want to zero in on our hearts so that we don't simply hear with our words, hear the words and let the words go in, but that your Word sinks into our hearts so that we can see manifestation, so that we can see changes, so that we can experience the reality of the truth of your Word. And we commit this time to you, and we expect to hear in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, the series title is called Faith Wins, and I started this last week, and we may go till next week with part one, called The Battle Within. The Battle Within. As you all know, 2021 being here, there is a lot of changes again in our country, a lot of unknowns. There is a lot of fear again. We're either going to face 2021 in faith or in fear. And it's going to be our choice. Either or. It is important, if we're going to decide to cover or to confront 2021 in faith, that we understand how we do this. The basis of this, I'm going to refresh from last week a little bit, from part one. The jumping off point of faith is Hebrews 11 verse 6. Hebrews 11 verse 6. I'll read it. But without faith, and this is our starting point, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. We must believe that God is who he says he is, not some made up or religiously indoctrinated or filtered through our emotions and how we feel about it, but that God is who he says he is in his word. That's it. It's point blank. We have to believe that. And that he is a rewarder. And in the Greek, it means pays wages of those who diligently seek him. We're not seeking the thing, but we're seeking him. We're not seeking the gift, we're seeking him. A rewarder and to pay wages means God is a remunerator. He says, here, I want to lavish you for seeking me, for loving me, for believing me, for blessing me with believing me. That's it. That is the basis of faith and where we start from. And where you place your faith is where you'll see your fruit. You place your faith in this world, in the government, in the things going on, in the media, and everything else. You put your faith there. And I'm going to tell you, faith is simply believing. Faith is saying, I'm going to believe that. I'm going to believe that. I'm going to believe that. And you got no verification at all, or Facebook, or Twitter, or any of the social media. I'm going to believe it. You are actually putting faith to that, and it is damaging or coming against or demeaning or taking away from your faith in God. Where you place your faith is where you see your fruit, period. You have to know that you cannot fake faith. Can't fake it till you make it. Doesn't work that way. And you can't force it. You cannot force faith. It's got to come from the belief of your heart. By knowing God as he really is. And I mean knowing him. That he is good. He is love. He is just and fair. That he is not a respecter of persons. That he is trustworthy in the absolute. That he's giving. That he's powerful for you and for me. Faith does not deny the facts. Please understand this. And unfortunately, in the days of faith, back in the 70s and 80s and early 90s when the faith movement focused on faith. By denying the facts, many people, this is the way they lived. That isn't true. Those are the facts. Faith doesn't deny the facts. They exist. Okay, they're in your face. Yeah, my bank book is empty. That's the fact. But faith believes the truth over and above the facts because it's based on what God says. This is where we get all kind of mixed up, okay? Faith believes the truth over and above what we see, what the circumstances are, how we feel, what the doctor's report is. Amen. What we might be bound to. Those are the facts, but they're not the truth. Faith goes with the truth. Okay? And the truth is always found in what God says. Period. Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. What does that really mean? It means for a believer, information comes into the mind. I hear the word. It comes into my head. Information leads to revelation, which is a peeling back of the scripture. It's a peeling back of the word of God when the word becomes alive and we know it. And revelation takes place in the heart. Okay? Your heart and your mind, they work differently. All right? Our mind gains information, but it's our heart that believes. That's where manifestation comes from, by faith. Information leads to revelation. It will result in either transformation of the life or stagnation. It will result, information comes into the mind, becomes revelation, goes into the heart. We do something with it, we're transformed. We do nothing with it, we stagnate, we're dead in the water. And we wonder why things don't change. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This is how this happens in our lives. One of the greatest aspects of living in Jesus Christ is a life of faith. Hebrews 10:38 said, "A just shall live by faith." Can I give you another way to look at it? If you're not living by faith, you're not really living. If you're not living by faith, you're not really living. You're existing, and you're going with the flow of whatever's happening around you. But if you're not living by faith, you're not really living. Because the just shall live by faith. By faith, we enter into His grace. The link of faith and grace must work together in order to experience the results of the promises of God. That's when they get real and they get tangible, because grace is already given. When we apply faith, faith wins. Amen? Amen? Amen. Okay, now we're caught up. The title of the message again is called The Battle Within. Would you go to 1 Timothy 6 verse 12? 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 12. You know, it's so weird not to hear pages turning anymore. I got to tell you, I'm still getting used to it. I wish I could hear all the clicks going on the phones. Somebody has a book. Oh. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. Paul is exhorting Timothy. An exhortation is, this is what an exhortation can sound like. Come on! You can do it! Let's go! Or it can sound like, pick up the pace. Run the race. It can be passive. It can be, soft. Or it can be strong. It can be vocal. It can be a subtle thing. but it is an exhortation prompting us to move, make a move, make a change. This is Paul's exhortation to Timothy, and he says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you are also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. We're going to focus on one thing today. Fight the good fight of faith. When Paul said that to Timothy, I want to give you the background in what was happening in Timothy's life and what it looked like for him, because it looked like for him a lot of what it looks like today for us. Timothy was fighting the battle within. You see, when we really understand grace, God's already done everything for us, right? Do we get this? He's done it all. He's accomplished it all. He's given it all. He's lavished it all. He says, here it is. All you got to do is believe me. When we fight the good fight of faith, do you know what we're fighting? We're fighting the battle within us. We're not fighting the circumstances. We're not fighting the devil because he's already beaten. We're fighting the battle within us to believe. And that's what Timothy was going through. Paul said, fight the good fight of faith, Timothy. Timothy, what he was going through. When Paul wrote this, Timothy was in his mid to late 30s. We don't know if he was single or married. What I pick up is that he was probably single. He was, first of all, a disciple of Jesus Christ, and he was a pastor and evangelist and a church planter. He lived most of the time in Ephesus, sometimes in Thessalonica. Now, he lived under the Roman government and the local governments in the cities and in those countries. The Roman government, let me say this, the Roman government, I don't know if you understand this, you probably do, but a lot of our government, the way our government is laid out, comes from Rome, the way the Roman government ran. I mean, there's parts and pieces that our founding fathers have taken from that, the way the operation of our country. But Rome was a corrupt government. Oh my gosh. Rome was corrupt. Deeply inside. Rome was, the Roman culture and people, there were more than 1,000 gods. Because they absorbed all the gods from all the cultures and all the places and all the countries that they conquered. And they brought them all in. Plus Rome had they were a pantheistic society. They had lots of gods themselves. So there was lots of idol worship. The local governments themselves in the countries and the cities that Timothy was living in and operating in, planting churches in, and pastoring in, were also corrupt in many ways. There was a tremendous amount of idol worship. Now, idol worship, we don't think about it. I mean, there's Hindu temples around, and even here. There are, of course, mosques, and there are, I mean, other places that, down, even in the little town we live in, there's a Buddhist monastery. They're around. In Ephesus and Thessalonica, they were everywhere. You go out the door and there's a temple here and a temple there and a shrine here and a shrine there. I want you to get the picture. It was inundating. Okay, and people, they believed this. There were open occult practices all the time. It was normal. Part of their worship, part of their lives. Ephesus and Thessalonica were very, Ephesus particularly was a very, very wealthy city. Hyper wealthy. And so the marketplace was a big deal. There were for the church, anybody that was a believer, there was persecution from the Jews and persecution from the Gentiles, who saw the gospel as taking people away from their particular idol worship religious practices. So they were persecuted, thrown in jail, they were beaten, all kinds of things happened. Now this is what Timothy is facing. There were false teachers on top of that, and false prophets rising up in the church, and they were destroying people's lives. They were hurting the church, and they were destroying people's lives within the church. Can you imagine carrying all this stuff? He had a great concern and a tremendous sense of burden in seeing the needs of the people were met by the church and the resources that came in. There were thousands of people. There were all kinds of needs. There was all kinds of supply that had to come. There was all kinds of emotional and mental and physical and financial needs within the church itself. He had to continually stay focused in himself with his mind on the Word of God and staying in the Word of God and staying in relationship with the Lord and encouraging and edifying and comforting others while still continuing to teach the truth and not getting off track himself. He was faced with overwhelming spiritual, organizational, logistical issues. Overwhelming. He was under tremendous emotional, mental, physical, and spiritual overload all the time. There was a massive pressure on him, and the stress was immense. And to top it off, he dealt with chronic digestive issues. He was sick all the time. He didn't feel good. Now, can you imagine all this going on in your life daily and regularly? It's on your mind. It's on your heart. People are on your heart. And you're responsible. You feel a sense of responsibility for thousands of people and the churches and the health of the church and the things going on and the problems that come up and the needs that are going to need to be met. Can you say pressure? And stress, and fear, and anxiety. Hey, listen, he's just a guy. Yeah, he was raised spiritually by Paul, the greatest grace teacher. But listen, he's going through some stuff. And Paul exhorts him, says, Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. God is still taking care of you. God's got the answers. God's met the needs. God's already given it. Fight the battle within. The victory is already there. Fight the battle within. Timothy faced all the human issues that we face today in these last days and all the uncertainty that we know is still coming. All the propensity to be in fear or faith really is going to be our choice. Faith always wins. Always. So the battle within for us is in our minds and our hearts. And remember, like I said last week, our minds and our hearts they're like two different entities when you think about this. The mind takes the information in. Great at collecting information. But it is the heart that really has a tremendous amount of control and authority in our life. To believe, to receive, and how we operate. We live through our hearts. You can gain all the information in the world, but I'm telling you, your heart's still going to direct you one way or the other. So this battle goes on in our minds and the way we think and what we think on and in our hearts. And we're facing the battle within. We've got to fight the good fight of faith in us. So what does it mean to fight the good fight of faith? And I'm telling you, this fight is coming whether you like it or not. That's for all of us. And if you haven't faced it, you may not have been thinking about it, but you're gonna. I promise you that. What does it mean to fight the good fight of faith? Number one, I'm going to break it down. Fight the good fight of faith. Fight. In the Greek, it means to battle or to contend. To battle or to contend. Before you ever go into a fight or a battle, there's one thing that you have to do. If you're committed to fight, and that's say if you're committed to fight, you've got to prepare. Who goes into a battle or who goes into a fight without preparing for it? And yet, there are so many believers that fight the good fight of faith with zero preparation, with zero, it's not, I don't even think about going, making a decision to fight. I'm going to, when it comes, I'm going to face it. Well, honey, it's come. And it's going to continue to come. And it's going to continue to come. And it's going to fight this battle within us. When we understand grace and what God's done, we're going to fight this battle within us to live in the victory that he's given us. But in order to do that, if we're going to contend, if we're going to fight, we have to make a decision that we're going to fight, we're not going to run. Right? Because we have an opportunity to do one or the other. And we've all seen this in others, and maybe even in ourselves. We're either going to face it head on, like David faced Goliath, or Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego faced the fiery furnace, or Jesus faced the cross, or we're going to run. Now, once we make a decision to fight, we have got to prepare. It is important that we understand we're going to fight, we're going to contend, we're going to battle. And we need to prepare for that because most of us are not prepared. Not you, because if you're not, you're going to be, right? Amen. So the first thing, first, in order to fight, we must prepare. In order to prepare, these are the things that we need to know. We need to know why we fight. Most of the time we go into a fight, we don't even know why we're fighting. Remember, this is the battle within us. Why we fight, and really, 1 Timothy 6, verse 12, answers this, and it is to lay hold of eternal life. Eternal life isn't just, when you think of eternal life, if you're just thinking heaven, you're off. It is, heaven is the final part of it. Eternal life is right now, as soon as you're born again, and everything that God has promised, again, carte blanche, is ours. Amen. Right now, that's eternal life. Long, satisfied, fulfilled, healthy, prosperous, delivered, preserved, righteous, happy, joyful, wonderful. Even in the midst of all the stuff that is going on in our, let's zero in on our country. God hasn't changed at all. And if God is for us, who can be against us? And if he's already given you the victory and leads you in triumph, then guess what? You've already got it. So you're going to fight. You're going to prepare to fight by knowing why you fight and laying hold of eternal life, because you always fight to win. Anybody ever, I've had some fights in the past before I was sanctified. And I never went into a fight to lose. Who would do that? I mean, really. Do you know believers do this? Please hear me. We go into fights not knowing why we fight. You have to have the attitude, I'm going into fight to win, not to lose. I'm going into fight to see the victory. This is why I'm fighting, to win. Lay hold of eternal life. Next, in how we prepare is to know God. It sounds simple, but it's not just the nod to God, or it's not just the, hey, listen, you know, we're spending a few minutes every day together. I'm praying in tongues once in a while, or I'll catch up with you, you know, but you know my heart, right? It's knowing him, again, for who he really is. Who he really is in truth and justice and mercy and power. And it's through his word and an actual, honest-to-goodness relationship with him. It's knowing God. This is how we prepare. Amen. Knowing his word is next. Knowing his word. Okay, you don't have to have the whole word memorized. But what word you do know and continue to learn and grow in needs to be embedded. Again, here's where the reality hits. It needs to be embedded in our hearts. I mean, the kind of word, when we understand the word, that we meditate on it, we can see it. I shared last week about seeing through our spirit. And that might have sounded a little mystical. But it's understanding who you are as a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Anyone who's in Christ is a new creation. Old things have passed away and all things have become new. And I meditate on it and I begin to see myself. And I shared this last week. Please don't think this is wacky. This is my imagination. Imagining myself sinking down into my spirit and seeing the shell that I live in and my emotions set aside. And seeing, sitting in my spirit, surrounded by the power of the Holy Ghost, shielding and powering me, and looking out through my spirit and seeing myself, seeing the reality of healing and wholeness and prosperity and the reality of my life, eternal life, instead of camouflage through this flesh that I wear. Seeing myself, seeing the real part. Knowing his word so that it becomes real, becomes alive, so that it becomes truth. When God says you have the victory, so seeing the reality of what he says through his word and getting that embedded into our heart. Because if it only goes into our head, it's information. When it hits our heart, it's transformation. And that results, revelation. And that results in transformation if we use it, or stagnation if we don't. James 1:21 says to get the word implanted into our heart so that it becomes part of us. A part of what we believe, really believe. This is where faith takes place, and faith wins. Faith wins. This is preparing to fight now, the battle within. The next one is part of the preparation, is to know your weapons. Know your weapons. Do you know how many believers, we teach this in here, but do you know how many believers do not know the weapons of their warfare? Let me read to you 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 through 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. These are the things that go on inside of us. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. The weapons of our warfare. It is most important that we know what they are. I'm going to explain some of this in a minute. We're battling us, right? We're battling this internal battle. We're fighting the good fight of faith, and the fight is against us, what's going on inside of us. We need to know our weapons. It is important in this battle to understand the tools that we have that are part of our weapons container, our weapons cache. That is our confession. Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? When your insides say to you, who do you think you are? You nobody, you so-and-so, you, who do you think you are? What's your confession? Man, look out. My mouth lets out a string of truth in the reality of who I am. That's my confession. How about, this is just one example. How about authority? Talked a little bit about authority when I spoke about Ephoma's book. You know, we get calls still from people. They search us out, and how they find us, I don't know. But people call the church and even call our landline, and they want ministry. They want to get healed because they've seen us on TV and stuff like that. And you know, I see results regularly because I know my authority. And I have no problem tackling anything. And I see changes. Financial changes, health changes, deliverance, other areas, because I know my authority. Most Christians don't know their authority. Okay, they don't know who they are, and they don't know their authority. These are tools for the toolbox. Okay? Amen. It's important that you learn your authority and wield it. You wield it like a sword, and you go after it. Whatever it is, you are the one that has authority. But it's knowing that. Other tools are the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. Baptism of the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues. Your identity, again, and faith. There's a whole lot more when I speak about our tools. When you come at this battle within in your righteousness and what you have, not condemnation or penalty or worthlessness or valuelessness. You're coming at this with being loved and being a son or daughter of God. And righteous before God. Perfect. Know your weapons. Learn about your tools. Next one is know your enemy. We don't give a lot of time to the devil because he is beaten, but it is important that we know who it is who's lying to us. It is important that we know the master manipulator, the one who wants to be in control, the one who wants to dominate. He's already defeated, but it's important to know our enemy, the father of lies, the manipulator through other people. He uses people to accomplish his goals. He is defeated. And we give him way too much. People give him way too much power. He's defeated. He's a has-been, a nothing, a zero. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, Paul said, we're not ignorant of his devices. It is important that we are not ignorant of his devices. Ignorance is not knowing what his devices are. We need to know our enemy. Not focus on him, but we need to know him. Next one. Is getting a word from God. Get a word from God. You all hear John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice. If you're born again, you're his sheep. And if you're his sheep, you hear his voice. And if you hear his voice, you get direction. You get clarity. If you've got the Holy Spirit living in you, guess what? He's talking to you.
Amen.
Learn to hear his voice. Get a word from God. A rhema word, what we call a rhema word. Rhema is when the word of God, when you're reading the written word, or you're speaking, you're in prayer with the Lord, or you're praying in tongues, and all of a sudden a scripture or a word or a, you know, let me give you one. Something that became rhema. You know, I was going through a tough time about a month ago, and Lord, I need a word. I need a word. And he said to me, and I shared this with the staff, he said, it's going to be okay. He says, I'm taking care of you, and I've supplied all your needs according to my riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That was it. I cannot tell you how settled everything became because I got a word from God. Get a word from him.
Amen.
Let him speak to you. This rhema word or through the logos, through his word, but let it become alive so that the information you get comes in, becomes revelation, and transforms you. Get a word from God or prophecy. If somebody has a word of prophecy, edification, exhortation, comfort, 1 Corinthians 14:3. That's good stuff too. Next one, access the Holy Spirit regularly. We kind of leave him out a lot of times. Who do you think's living in you? Right? Sealed your spirit. Access him. Get the baptism of the Holy Spirit if you don't have it. Access the gifts. Speak in tongues regularly. There is an anointing inside of you in your life. Powerful. Learn to access the Holy Spirit. In all this preparation, get accustomed to asking for direction, and here's the big part. Submitting to his will. Oh man. Ask for direction and submit to his will. His will. You know, anytime we don't submit to his will, whose will are we submitting to? Yeah, us. Are we the best leader?
No.
That's experience talking, isn't it? Get accustomed to asking for direction and submitting to his will. We are sons and daughters of the creator of the heavens and the earth. If we're born again, man, we got it. We got everything. Submit to his will. It's really trusting him. James 4:7 says, submit to God. Submit to him. Submit to him. Because it's good. And what he has is good. And his direction is good. And his will is good. And what he has for you and says to you is good, and it's good for you.
Yes.
And then resist the devil, and the devil will flee. He's no big deal. Resist him, because he's going to tell you the same thing he told Adam and Eve. You want to be like God? You want to do your own thing? God's going to hold back from you anyway. So do what you want to do. Besides, your will's better. And we all know that isn't true, right? Get accustomed to asking for direction and submitting to his will. Romans 8:14 says the sons and daughters of God are led by his spirit. All right. This is all part of the, and this is ongoing. And I will tell you this, that preparing to fight is a regular thing. It's not like, okay, we prepare and I'm done. This is a regular part of our growth in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. It's a regular part of our understanding and growth in the grace of God and in faith. If you want faith to win, You're going to fight the good fight of faith. You're going to battle the battle within. You're going to get this done so you can start seeing and receiving and seeing the victories regularly. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Okay, well, I guess we're going to finish part 3 next week. Praise God. Fighting the good fight of faith. 1 Timothy 6, verse 12. It'd be good to get that inside of us. Fight the good fight of faith. Prepare yourselves to fight. Prepare yourselves to fight. And go in this and go at it when you're dealing with the battle within to win. Okay? You're going to do this all in faith. Now, would you stand with me? Dan, come on up. Anybody else need prayer? Does everybody know the Lord? Everybody know Jesus Christ is Lord? Come on, Dan. Come on, Vicky. Yeah, just stand in front. Come on, Matt. If you're going to live in faith, and faith's going to win, you got to fight the battle, the good fight of faith. Grace has already been given. The healings, promises, preparation, the prosperity has already been given. You got to make your mind up, I'm going to fight. And you're not going to quit. And you're going to keep going. Till you win the battle within. Amen? And see it. Because it's a done deal. So if everybody's born again, is everybody baptized in the Holy Spirit? Because you're really missing out if you're not. If you don't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit with speaking in tongues, come on up here. We'll make sure you get blessed. All right. Well, Father, in Jesus' name, I declare today that we are blessed, that we are going to fight the good fight of faith. We're going to continue to prepare. We're going to face the battle within, and we're going to win because faith wins. And as we win, we're going to see the victories pile up. I mean, mightily, powerfully, high victories in every area of our lives. And we're going to stay in faith, not in fear, because we've got the victory.
Yes.
In healing.
Yes.
In prosperity.
Yes.
In deliverance.
Yes.
In righteousness.
Yes.
In preservation. In joy. In peace.
Yes.
In all of your promises for us. We've got it. We already have it.
Yes.
It's ours. And in Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you for what you're doing in this church and your power continually being released through the Holy Spirit and by your word and miracles taking place regularly. We love you, Lord. Help us keep our minds fixed on you all the time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Praise God. You're dismissed, everybody. Have a great week. Praise God. Thank you.